And if you understand that and accept that, you go, that's it. I'm willing to be a people that are charismatic, or people that move in the gifts of God's grace. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. And that's what we want to do. It's biblical, and that's the church of the last days. Listen, we really need a strong church in these last days. Look around. We can't have a weak church. We have to have a biblical church, and that's why God sent you here to be a part of that.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message where Pastor Wayne showed us that serving in the church can be joyful. Well, perhaps you think you play a small part, setting up chairs or helping in the parking lot. It may not be as glamorous as singing up on stage, but in God's eyes, you are vitally important. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Joy of Serving.
Everybody is a 10 somewhere. And as we begin to exercise that, everything starts to fit together. And then there is glory to God. Because why? Because my weakness was filled by that person's strength. And that person's weakness was filled by my strength. Because theirs might be being a leader, but leaders run into walls and they need someone who is an encourager, someone who will have a gift of mercy that'll say, I understand. And how many times in a eulogy you'll hear someone say, you know, he listened to me when no one else did. What a gift of life that is. But once we start comparing with one another, we're in trouble. But when we become fitted together, appreciation for God goes through the roof. That's what this next scripture says. Let's read it together. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. See, when we obey God's design, things start to grow and people thank God for it. Glory goes to God. We were really designed for each other, just like the Legos. That's why the Bible says it this way. The whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When these things start to fit together, we start to build the church. It's not an observation deck. It is actually the building of a family that's going to represent the heart of Jesus to a watching world, because each of you has one. And when none of us is Jesus, but together we are. And then people say, oh, look how they love one another. Look how they're helping one another. In Eusebius, who's a historian, he writes about the Christians that were being tortured and tormented by gladiators, where they would actually take Christians when they were persecuting them under Nero, put them in a circuit or a circus. That's where we get the word circle from. It was actually not necessarily the Colosseum, but a circuit like we have in Vegas, Circuit de Soleil, Circle of the Sun. They would have these little circuses. They would bring Christians in and they would let lions out to devour them. And they were watching this, and the audience would put their thumb down and they'd let a lion out. And the lion would charge this huddled group of maybe 10 Christians. And they noticed that as the lion charged, one of the men would stand in front of the others and take the mauling of the lion when he would be a bloodbath and he'd be expired. They would then let another lion out. And they noticed that another man would come out in front of that huddled group, and he would take the mauling of the lion. And this would continue until there were none left. And Eusebius writes in his writings, he writes about this, and then he ends it with this. I learned something. See how they love one another. And I thought, that's the church. And we're going to have weaknesses and we're going to have strengths. But as every joint supplies what it's supposed to, it builds up the body of Christ in love. That's it. And then the people of the world begin to see Jesus. Jesus says that in his final priestly prayer in John. He says, and he's praying to the Father. Father, he said, I pray that even as I am one in you and you are one with me, I pray, listen to this, I pray that the church would be one so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So how's the world going to believe that Jesus was real? By the way that we love one another. Because we're all exactly the same, very different in gifts. But just like Legos, where you have a lack, I have a strength. Let's put it together. And instead of condemning one another, we complete one another. And in doing so, people go, that's it. That's why the church is so strong. So remember, all the gifts were resident in Jesus, but he distributed them by the Spirit when he ascended so that together we become the body of Christ to the world. Now, let me give you two areas of gifts. One is called motivational gifts. This is found in Romans chapter 12. Now, God's going to give us gifts. So whether your gift is praying or serving, jump in because we're going to need all the gifts operating at such a high level for people when they come, they see Jesus, the heart of Christ. Now, Romans 12 gives us seven gifts, and each of you has one. It's called motivational gifts. This is like your base camp. Of these seven, you will have one of them. Now, you'll have facets of other gifts, but there's going to be a base camp that's where you're tethered. That's your home base, out of which you'll do all kinds of other things. But you'll have these gifts. The first of the seven is a gift called prophecy. Now, if your gift is prophecy, it's like you're pretty black and white. You're just, this is right, that's wrong. This is right, that's wrong. And so you're going to have people that are pretty firm in their belief. There's no gray, black and white. It just might be because they have a gift called prophecy. There's no gray, no slippery slope. And then another person may have the gift of serving. This person is more concerned about physical needs being met than emotional or financial. It's like, how many chairs do we need? How can I set this up? Let me clean this for you. Let me take care of that. Let me help you with the parking. These people, that's just their gift. They might not be able to sing or dance, but they say, no, let me serve. I feel really happy when I serve. It's great. Now you'll have another one called teaching. People that are teachers, if your gift is teaching, which I'm sure that there's some of you that have that gift, you're very exacting. You said, no, the data has to be correct. No, it has to be like this. No, let's start a class. People need to learn about this. So let's just delineate this out and let's get the rubric down. And we need to teach these people something here that they've not been taught. So they're a little didactic. They want things taught well. Now, the other gift is a gift of exhortation. This is all listed in Romans 12. And that's, by the way, my gift is exhortation. And that's stirring the faith of other people. The reason I preach like I do is I want to stir your faith. I want to get you to apply what God's been teaching you. I don't want it to sit and get moldy. I want you to use it. So my gift of exhortation is why I disciple or mentor young people. That's just my base camp. That's just who I am. My whole life has been that way. And that's if you're an exhorter, that's how you will be. You want to exhort or you want to encourage people's faith. Giving is someone that has been gifted by God with finances and resources, and they see how the gospel could be advanced, and they take great joy in advancing that, helping and getting rid of the lack of financial wherewithal so that the gospel can move forward. They take great joy in that. And leadership, someone who is able to see things from a 32,000-foot level and say, this is what we need to do. You do this, change that, you change that, we'll be all set. That's just a gift of leadership. God gives that to people. And the last is mercy. Mercy is someone who is very caring about the emotional state of people. Are you okay? Are you all right? Now, you see, if everybody had the gift of mercy, this would be drama 101 here at the church. If everyone were prophets, this would be the drill sergeant central. But you have them all mixed together. Do you understand how you get a balance and it becomes Christ-like? But there's going to be conflict because you put a prophet next to a person with a gift of mercy. you're going to have conflicts because they don't understand each other. And a lot of times conflict in the church is simply because we are uninformed about the gifts. But we need to work together. We need to accept one another. Listen carefully. When you understand the gifts, their conflict will be inevitable. Combat is optional. There will be conflict because we're so different and we see things from a different angle. As what you're about to see in this sketch, as we take a look at the seven gifts responding to the same event. Let's take a look.
You know, you really shouldn't be carrying all those things at once. You know, this stuff and stuff causes a lot of problems. So in order to make that better, you need to think through things thoroughly in advance.
Here, I'll help you clean this up.
Okay, so you see what happened was you had all your cups on one side, so it unbalanced the whole tray. And what would solve it is if you had a bigger tray or bigger muscles, less cups or empty cups and just one pitcher full of water that we could pour our own water.
Next time, why don't we have everyone get their own drinks? That would be the simplest solution. Or you could practice during the week balancing on a tray.
Oh, that's okay. I have some money. Here, let's go get some more.
All right, Mary, you get a mop. Bill, let's re-pour some more drinks and everyone grab a cup or two.
Oh, don't feel bad, Joe. This could have happened to anybody. Don't even think about it for another second. We'll be just fine.
Well, guess my spiritual gift isn't balancing.
So you see, there can be conflict, and there is in churches. And if we're not careful, churches will split. People will leave in anger and offended and resentful only because we're uninformed about the different gifts. We need to receive all of them. Now there's going to be, with those gifts, there's going to be areas or sectors of immaturity or inexperience that we'll have to deal with. But we don't want to just throw out the baby with the bathwater, because if we do, we may lose some of the greatest gifts that could fit and God's purposes come to pass. Now, another area of gifts will be found in 1 Corinthians 12. So everyone will have a motivational gift that we just talked about, one of the seven, and it's just going to be your home base, out of which you might be, even if you have the gift of leadership, you may need to counsel one day. And if you do, there's nine gifts the Holy Spirit's going to dole out. For example, a word of wisdom or word of knowledge or discernment of spirits. If I'm a leader, but I've got to counsel somebody, God may give to me a word of knowledge, like, this is what's going on. This person is struggling with his past or her hurts from the past or a misinformed or misperception about something. And a word of wisdom is, this is what you need to do to combat that or to resolve that or to bring healing to that. And a discernment of spirits might be that person's wrestling with a spirit of oppression or a spirit of whatever it might be, defeatism, and you have to pray that thing out. Deal with that. Because the reason all of these physical things are happening is because of a spiritual thing going on. So if you're a leader or a teacher or a servant, you're going to be counseling, and God has nine different gifts that he's going to give to you depending on what he's called you to do at that moment. Not only that, if you're a leader, you might also need to work in the area of faith or the area of healing or miracles. If you're leading an organization and you need to see something that's not there, God may give you a gift of faith where I know this can happen. I can see it. Well, it's not there. No. It will be. And there's just a confidence there. There's going to be people that are struggling and may need a miracle of healing or a miracle of finances. And you'll work in that. You'll start to be gifted for that. And then you say, but I'm a servant. I just move chairs or park cars. Oh, it doesn't matter. God's going to gift you for all of the ministry because Jesus is everywhere. And it's his gifts that will help you to become that. Or you might move in an area called tongues or interpretation of tongues or prophecy. It's sort of like this. I know about this much in my life that I need to pray for. I know what I need to pray for. And my mind knows A, B, C, D, E, F, G. These needs, these things here. But above this, there is a galaxy of things I have no idea how to pray for. What's going to happen next month? What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to finances? What's going to happen to our savings? I just have no idea how to pray for that, Lord. It's beyond me. That's when God takes over. And the Bible says it this way, for we know not how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings too deep for words. So he gives you a prayer language and you're able to pray in tongues that actually prays in such a way that's beyond your understanding. That's what the scripture says. When you're praying in the Spirit, you have no idea, but you're giving the Holy Spirit permission to make intercession for you. So you have interpretation of tongues where God says, this is what's going on. Or you have prophecy where the Lord says, this is what's going to happen. You need to have confidence in that. And you prophetically see something or know something. All of those are absolute gifts of God's grace. But listen, if we can operate in those rather than fight over those, if we can operate in that anointing rather than question it, do you know how powerful this church would be? And that's a design for the bride of Christ. Remember, he's giving all of us gifts. And as we utilize them correctly, the world begins to see Jesus. If you take a look at the first three in your counseling, it's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits. That's what happens right here. It's all in the mind. It's sort of like when you operate in those gifts, it's sort of like what Jesus would think if he were here physically. If you're operating in faith or healing or miracles, it's just simply what Jesus would do if he were here physically. But he gifts us to do that. Oh, what about tongues or interpretation of tongues or prophecy? That's what Jesus would say if he were physically here. He would pray in that way. So what is he doing? He's simply giving us gifts of grace so that we can be Jesus in the world today. And if you understand that and accept that and go, that's it. I'm willing to be a people that are charismatic or people that move in the gifts of God's grace. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. That's what we want to do. It's biblical, and that's the church of the last days. Listen, we really need a strong church in these last days. Look around. We can't have a weak church. We have to have a biblical church, and that's our plan for New Hope West. And that's why God sent you here. To be a part of that. Let me finish with an illustration of how that came to be. And I began to realize it. It was right before Christmas some years ago when we were pioneering a church in Hawaii called New Hope Oahu. And people were coming to Christ left and right. And we were practicing for Christmas. And so we had this huge choir, maybe 60, 70 voices, but they're all brand new Christians. And you know, when brand new Christians sing, they don't just sing a song, they declare their testimony. And their jugular veins are out here when they're talking about how much they love God, and because they're just fresh. So they were singing. The pianist was playing with all of his heart, and the drummer was drumming. People were moving cameras around, ushers outside getting their bulletins ready, and everyone was just completely involved. It was just thrilling. And I was to, at the end of the Christmas service, come up and take my Bible and give a message, you know, and share the gospel. Well, right when we were practicing, there were some cheerleaders that were from the university. They're more like gymnasts that between games, you know, the ones that flip and do somersaults, etc. Well, one of the guys' name was Fred Rohde. And Fred came up, and right when we were done singing, he said, Pastor, my name is Fred. And I said, hi, Fred. He said, I'm a gymnast, a floor gymnast, and we do things between games. And I said, wonderful. And he said, I received Christ here 2 weeks ago. I said, oh, congratulations, Fred. And he said, you know, could we be a part of the Christmas service? I said, absolutely. Can you sing? He said, oh, I can't sing. Oh, Can you play an instrument? He said, I can't. I said, okay, well, what can you do?
He said, well, we can, like, somersault. That's what we do. We just kind of flip things around, you know? And I said, okay, so what do you suggest? He said, well, you know, when the choir sings, like, that last crescendo note, he's alive, we can come out and go, woo, 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 woo. I said, I don't think so, woo, 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 woo. He said, why? He said, because I don't think we have enough liability insurance. And then he stopped and he said, you know, he said, we just got saved 2 weeks ago. And he said, this is like our first Christmas. I mean, real Christmas. Before it was just like gifts giving to one another, but we know Jesus. And this is our first Christmas acknowledging the birth of our Redeemer who saved us, me. So I said, okay. Now he got my attention. I said, wow, that's cool. He said, and I've never brought him a gift. The Magi brought him gifts. Others have. He said, I just want to say thank you, and I want to give God something, and I don't know what to bring. The only thing I have is the gift he gave me, and I want to present that to him if I could. And when he said that, I started crying. He started crying. And then I understood. Wow. So I said, you know, when they sing that crescendo note, you guys come and just flip for God. Just come right on the stage. Just flip for God. And you know, when Christmas came, the cameras were cammering and the bulletins were being bulletined and the piano was playing and the drums were drummed. When it came to that point in the choir, and they sang that crescendo note, he's alive. Fred and a bunch of the guys from the cheerleading squad just came and they just started flipping across the stage. And you know the kind where you don't even put your hands down, you just whoop. It's just, they're just whooping all over the stage. And what I didn't know is they invited some girls to come and join in. So they stand in the middle of the stage and these girls come whooping out and they catch them and they throw them up. And these girls are flipping in the air. And you can hear the choir, he's alive! You know? And they threw one girl up so high, we haven't heard from her since. But when they came down, the whole congregation stood to their feet and gave a standing ovation. And then I saw it. I saw everyone preaching the gospel through their gifts. You see, the piano player, he may not know how to do this and preach, but his gift was playing the piano. And so I looked over and I thought, piano, you're preaching the gospel the best way you know how, through your gift. The drummer was preaching the gospel the best way he knew how, through his gift. The camera people, they were preaching the gospel the best way they knew how, through their gift. And all the choir people were preaching the gospel the best way they knew how, through their song. Ushers were preaching the gospel the best way they knew how, through welcoming people with a hug and a handshake. And then I, at the end of the service, I preached the gospel the best way I knew how, through my gift. But it wasn't one better than the other, and neither was it just one presentation of the gospel and everybody else observing. You understand? Count them all up, all the presentations of the gospel. There were probably 120 presentations of the gospel in one service, all at the same time. They fit together. And that's why when people came in, they'd see Jesus everywhere. And people were receiving Christ left and right. Why? Because the church was in motion. The Holy Spirit was pleased. And the family of God was at work. And then I said, that's what the church is. Not just a bunch of people flexing, but a bunch of people serving and preaching the gospel the best way they knew how. And then I thought, Lord, let that be our church
It is. Can you say amen to that?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Joy of Serving by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
If we can operate in that anointing rather than question it, do you know how powerful this church would be? Remember, He's giving all of us gifts, and as we utilize them correctly, the world begins to see Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time we meet, remember, God has gifted you, and it's a good gift. Don't hide it, but use it to bring healing and life to others around you. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.